It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep.
Like a llama or an emu.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you John Merrick's remains.
Ooh, all them crazy elephant bones.
And if I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
I'd buy your love. You know what, man? I would buy... I don't know, Brian. It's one of those things where I'm really happy to have you back to an hour.
That is so sweet.
I miss that hour of catharticness. Oh. Is that a word? Catharticity.
No, that's definitely a word.
That is?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So anyway, it's very therapeutic to, like, oh. But when I have to plan an hour with you in it and... keep you short and keep the questions short and the answers short. And I was like, man, just
the
no.
How about the introduction?
I don't want
short.
I don't want the drama. That. I don't want the, hey.
Hey.
I don't want the drama. Anyway.
Bring in the comedy.
Welcome to Speak Out for Thursday, January 15th, 2026. Hard to believe, but, you know, as of noon, we're halfway through January because there's 31 days.
I just.
15 and a half.
Somebody slow it down. Slow it down.
Right?
God.
Right?
I was tired of it going so fast.
I know it. Anyway, Brian Springberg's here at Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, certified financial planner. And, I was driving by your building yesterday, the new building.
Okay.
At the top of the hill.
Yes.
Right? And at the top of Main Street. And I thought, you know what? I never confirmed with Robin.
What?
What was I thinking? So I called Robin, and sure enough, at 527 or whatever, she picked up the phone. I had a silent witness meeting, so.
Oh.
And I'll have you know that.
Well, you just gave something away. I don't think you should have divulged your silent witness.
Why? I'm a board member. I raise funds for them out in public.
Oh, you're not actually a silent witness.
No.
Okay, I'm with you.
No,
now.
I'm on the board. I should tell you that, and I don't think this was on the down low, and I don't know whether they're close to an arrest or, well, I know they are close to an arrest in the graffiti case. Which, you know, there's several incidents of graffiti downtown.
Oh, no, I did
not
know that.
Yeah, they put out
actually.
A press release on it and that, and I, from what I understand,
get them.
They've either got one, they have a suspect, but they were just gathering. So I'm really working feverishly on having Chief Sterling on Tuesday show because we're dark on Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, there may not be a show on Tuesday, but not if I can help it. So, all right, Brian, I'm not sure where to go with this segue, but,
What's going on?
Is there any tagging going on Wall Street, maybe?
Segue. No.
I know, terrible.
Yeah, no. The market has just really continued to do pretty well. We had a couple, 2-3 days of volatility recently, but as of today, actually, the market is rebounding quite a bit. Analysts are wrong a lot. And so let me preface what my following comments are going to be with that. But here's the thing. Almost every analyst on Wall Street, big banks, boutique shops, almost entirely across the board expects 2026 to be a, you know, decent year in the stock market here in the U.S. And now, of course, it's always the caveats unless something catastrophic happens relative to, you know, war and geopolitical events and unforeseen and all that. But just relative to economic expectations, that is the case. And that is despite the fact that Kiplinger's is expecting unemployment to actually continue to go up early this year to almost 5% before maybe calming down a little bit before the end of the year. So there seems to be some positive expectations, if you include that, certainly. GDP growth from Kiplinger's expected to be about 2.2% this year. So we would call that anemic growth, meaning, hey, it's not a recession, we're moving forward, but it's not like the economy is going to really light anything on fire in terms of growth expectations. So very, very modest growth is expected from that perspective. Some of the reasons there's these tailwinds, you know, positives, kind of helping us sail along here. The tax cuts, you know, that Congress and President Trump, you know, introduced, those extra dollars coming into the economy would be positive, right? And the fact that the continued investment in artificial intelligence and the surrounding business types and sectors that support that globally would also continue to kind of feed that notion as well. Profitability in corporations, as unemployment goes up for us humans, profitability, at least in the short term, may also go up for corporations, since that reduces labor cost in the big picture of things for some of them.
Kind of a catch-22 when you think about it, though. If you eliminate labor, who buys your product?
Well, that's what I said in the short term, because that's an excellent point. Like, there's a period where it does benefit corporations, right?
Until people don't make any money.
But until there's enough people not working,
right?
Maybe not so much. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be fascinating, honestly, to see where all of this goes. All kinds of conjecture about that. Last year, 2025, S&P 500 ended the year up about 17%. And again, in very much large part just due to the artificial intelligence investment and supporting sectors and industries in corporate America. But interestingly enough, international stock markets, European market, you know, it's the EFA, Europe, Asia, Far East, is kind of the a main measure, I guess, or the MSCI global measure, up more like 27%. In 2025, and a lot of expectations for those things to continue. Again, some reasons why: the dollar, of course, being relatively weak, and a lot of the things being put in place continuing to contribute to that. So when the dollar's weak, that actually helps profits in terms of international companies, because when those dollars are converted from euros or whatever into U.S. dollars, there's actually money that can be made just on the currency conversion and exchange. And, of course, it can also go the other way when the dollar strengthens. So that's in play as well. Interest rate expectations, they're still thinking, they're going to probably hit them twice in 2026, lower them a little bit. That's always a moving target. For typically, the main reason for that would be because the Fed's going to keep a very close eye on jobs reports, economic reports, don't want to cut interest rates too much, too fast, so it reignites inflation, and also don't want to wait too long in case jobs numbers get bad in an unforeseen manner, and they should have really been doing it. And the second and less palatable reason is political pressure from President Trump. You saw in real time the stock market over the last several days react to that, and also the heads of pretty much every bank and institutional investment entities, many of which, of course, would be very much, you know, pro-Trump, so to speak, but pushing an independent entity that's focusing its energies on people who are, of course, very much at the top of the heap of, you know, some of the best financial minds in the world, subject to political pressure, is why the Federal Reserve has always been an independent entity where the president does not have the ability to fire them like he would a cabinet member or others. And so every president, Republican, Democrat, whatever, of course in the past they've put pressure on the Federal Reserve because they want the economy to be great while they're president. That's politics, right?
Right.
But the Federal Reserve is not thinking, hey, I want the economy to look great for this president. We want the economy to be sound for all of America for the foreseeable future based upon current economic data. And that's why it's so important. It always remains separate and independent, because it is, once it becomes subject to that kind of political pressure, then you saw what happened. It puts the fear in a major way into the private sector. When government has taken over that kind of sector in Argentina, and you can just kind of go through a list of countries, it has worked out train wreck bad, like really bad, and caused hyperinflation and all kinds of things, again, because that pressure of, you know, pushing interest rates down to nothing and spurring, you know, hyper, which causes inflation, as I already talked about, well, some negative ramifications. So that's why Wall Street kind of bristled when that happened. It's kind of recovering, so hopefully it's just kind of some saber rattling and pressure, and there's really not anything materially behind that. But regardless, I believe that the Federal Reserve Chairman's term is coming due anyway this year, and so you would expect that person more than likely to be replaced by President Trump, by somebody who would pretty much follow his direction.
He reports to a board, correct?
Well, there's the Federal Reserve Board,
right.
Board of Governors, that kind of votes.
Couldn't the Board of Governors vote a vote of no confidence with Powell?
Of course.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that's what's happening behind the scenes. So with all the publicity they're getting, they haven't gotten this much publicity in years.
Yeah, no, it's the opposite.
Oh, really?
They're all defending them except for the recent appointees by President Trump.
And the administration, right.
Correct.
Okay, I got it.
So, yeah, no, and it doesn't matter. If you're if you're a traditional, you know, extremely conservative Republican, and you're still kind of on that board of governors or involved in the financial sector and industry, you know how bad of a thing this is. And that's what's happening, is they're like, no. There's, you know, it's sacred. And that's just because they recognize what would happen potentially, of course, to the economy and the stock market once that kind of independent confidence is lost. And you know, our country was founded on separation of powers. Now, that's typically been, not including, you know, the quote Federal Reserve, but there's a reason why we've managed to survive as long as we have, and in part that's, of course, the separation of powers between, the executive, the legislative, and of course the judicial branches, so that, you know, co-equal powers, so to speak. So, and at any rate, that gives you some insight to some challenges, but mostly some positive expectations for this year. Now, it doesn't mean that you should go off and take a bunch of risk and put all your money in the market. Everybody is different relative to their own personal financial goals and risk tolerances and time frames and tax situations. But in the very big picture general scheme of things, I just kind of wanted to give everybody an update about what the word on the street is, so to speak. Bonds, as I've talked about in the past, well, you know, most of them are going to prosper if they do continue to lower interest rates. We just don't know exactly what's going to happen going forward. So, at any rate, I think we're going to get ready to go to our first break in just a minute.
I'm pulling the taffy.
Is that elastic you're pulling?
Stretch.
Yeah. So currently, I know it's numbers. I always tell you not to listen to numbers. The Dow's back up to 421, up 0.86, so almost 1% in one day is always a significant move. I mean, it's going to be surprising if we don't hit Dow 50,000. Nuts.
That is nuts.
And wow. Let me just give you a quick tutorial on why that's nuts. The Dow in 2007 going into 2008 had reached about 14,000 and change. When 2008 and beginning of 09 hit, the Dow went down to like 6,500 or 6,700 or so. And here we are, 2026.
Wait, what? Wow. That's insane.
We are at 50,000.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's unbelievable and exciting. And,
what was
and,
it in the Great Depression?
I wonderful. But that's where I was going with it. But
I never get tired of hearing that.
Yeah, but it's, oh, God, I don't know.
The big number.
I don't.
It's like it was like 900, maybe.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. But I was just going with the thing that is nerve-wracking is anytime anything kind of explodes and does so well, you know, you start going, well, when's the shoe going to drop? And, you know, I think the shoe drop at this juncture is just in many ways tied to what I think a lot of us are concerned about, and that's the national deficit. Because it is just, you know, we cannot continue down this path, and at some point, of course, it is going to be a major issue. And in fact, if you study history and, you know, kind of go back 2,000 years and look at every great society or civilization or democracy or semi-democracy that eventually kind of buckled, there's certain things that happen. And one of them is, guess what? The debt supersedes the ability for that country to continue to absorb and pay for it. And in our case, you know, we may not even been the country we were, but we managed to get the dollar back in the day used as the method of exchange for oil in the world, which made our dollar the most important currency in the world. And that worm can turn when the rest of the world starts wondering, is the U.S. going to be able to continue to keep that dollar as safe and strong as it historically has been. And that would be a very quick domino effect of devastation to our country, which is going to happen, by the way, if we don't change course. Am I going to give you a date and a time? No, I don't know.
The Supreme Court decision maybe on tariffs?
Oh.
Is the market reacting at all?
Obviously not.
Previous to that decision, like, what do you think? Not what you would think, but is there a prediction out there from anybody as to what will happen if they decide against Trump or for Trump? Are there scenarios?
Well, I'm going to
because you read all the trades.
I'm going to change your language.
Yeah, absolutely, please do.
For tariffs or against tariffs?
Yeah, okay.
I know he is the cause of the tariffs, but it's not. But I know politically, people are going to say either you support Trump or you don't.
That issue is
that's not
does
the
he
issue.
Need,
the issue
does
is,
he need Congress's approval, right?
Are the tariffs legal,
right,
or not?
Right, right.
That's ultimately going to be the issue. And I don't know. Other than it would be chaos, because you're going to have companies like some companies. I think was it Amazon or Costco already announcing, hey, you rule against that, we are suing the federal government for all of the money that we illegally, if it's deemed illegal by the Supreme Court, that we illegally had to pay for it. And then, you know, as U.S. citizens, I guess we can be mad because about a third of those tariffs just came out of our pocket, is the estimate, just extra cost or tax or whatever you want to call it. But a lot of it came out of corporate coffers. And so there's going to be a little bit of chaos there in it. And so it's what a weird thing decision to make, and I know there probably has been, but not to, I can think of off the top of my head, think of a Supreme Court decision that caused such a reversal of something that was done economically. Now,
or had so much angst built up economically, for sure.
So it's going to be interesting, or I guess the better way to say it is that could have such
ramifications.
Deep ramifications,
yeah,
based upon that decision. So let's say, you know, you're on the Supreme Court and you think, yeah, this is illegal. There's no constitutional authority for them to do this and blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, but if I say thumbs down,
mm-hmm,
what's going to happen to the economy and Wall Street and on and on and on?
It's like
and
you're
there's
holding
a real life. There's a real life consequence. And so is your allegiance and your duty to the Constitution or to the economy and the stock market? And I wouldn't want to be in that position.
It's like you're holding the anvil and the Wile E. Coyote's right under you, right? All right. Hey, we do have a phone call. I'll go ahead and push the break.
Yeah.
Since the show is dedicated to the listener. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, this is Thomas O'Connor. I'm running for city council here in Lake Havasu, and I just wanted to let everyone know I'm down here trying to get signatures so my name can
okay,
get on the ballot.
I can't have potential city council members on the air doing that because you're not a qualified candidate yet. So the station policy, just so you know. But thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I'll be announcing those names here in a future newscast. So that was easy.
Yeah.
Steve's going, good job, good job. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. And Brian, I'm kind of bummed that Marissa June didn't catch this. On this date in 2016, David Bowie died.
Man, what a loss.
Right.
What a loss.
Totally.
Hey, you don't have to ever think of a reason to say, hey, this happened, let's play Bowie.
Oh, really?
I'm in.
No kidding.
I'm in.
But check this out. On this date, when Bowie died, 19 of his albums entered the UK album charts. 19 of his albums that had been previously released. 19.
Yeah.
Black Star was his new album. It went number one. 13 Bowie tracks also entered the top 100, led by Heroes at number 12. Also, this is amazing right here.
Yeah.
His songs were streamed more than 19 million times on services like Apple Music and Spotify. And that was on this date.
I was one of them, I'm sure.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. Little David Bowie and, of course, Ziggy Stardust. This is the 2012 remaster. Brian Springberg will return in a moment. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We even have a question on the text line. People missed you? What the heck?
I don't know.
It doesn't say I missed you, though.
Oh, yeah.
928.
I miss giving you a hard time.
727-5566. Be like Wayne. Wayne always calls in, but he hasn't called yet. So I'm kind of...
I told him. I just saw him. He told me. He promised me he was going to call
and
give me a hard time.
You just
time.
Saw him, really?
Man, like a week or two.
Nice. Ago. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3, 5, and 7 FM, and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned that you're in. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit or protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced sincere are independent of Osaic Wealth. I'm looking at the lyrics on Spotify, Brian.
Yeah.
And I'm learning all these new, you know how you think the song goes, but it wasn't written that way, right?
Totally.
That's funny, though.
You read it, and you're like, that's what he was saying the whole time.
Hey, man, Droogie, don't crash here, like it's one of his buddies, D-Droogie, D-Droogie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's others I could say, but I don't want to read them because they're kind of derogatory. It's a different time. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, you just kind of go with it. And, you know, he was a hip cat. You know,
right.
What are you going to do?
Man, he was in a lot of scenes in London at that time, you know, when coming up. He was a solo act before he was actually, you know, David Bowie. It was a different name. I can't remember the name of his band, but I saw a documentary on him, and he was just kind of average.
Back in the day.
Yeah, doing the crooning type stuff. He actually had a really good voice for that. So.
Well, and they all, a lot of them did that, right? Just kind of like strumming, hey girl,
what's with the
50s, you what, know,
what's with the
early 60s.
Yeah, right,
sound.
Right. The blue eye and the green eye, that's the colors, right? Or was it blue and brown? He had two different color eyes.
Yeah, I forget the name for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Retina something.
Something.
Retina discoloration. Speak Out brought to you.
It's something else.
Of course, we're broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out kitchen with a toy sink. That was from Wayne. Be like Wayne. See, he gave us a sink up here, Brian.
That's cool.
He wants to put batteries on.
I see it.
He wants to run water out of it on top of our computer. My computer.
Yeah.
Actually, Steve's computer. Fine City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats. Also, TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. Future home to a food truck court, by the way. Pretty good deal.
Another one.
You might want to call them, folks, if you have a food truck.
It's all the rage.
And A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And, you know, a lot of people had pretty good return on investment last year. You
sure.
Know, per quarter, per year, year to date, what have you. What do they expect? I mean, if you had a really good year last year,
yeah,
with Brian Springberg,
yeah,
or whomever your financial advisor is,
yeah,
what about this year?
Well, you know,
does that mean you're like,
well, the question
is it
really
going to carry over?
Should I make some changes? Right.
Ah.
Well, the first thing, you know, with all the reviews I'm having, you know, the last couple of weeks is okay. What, you know, first and foremost, what is their need to get to assets this year, whether they're taking regular income or maybe they're going to want to buy a new car and need a big lump sum, or they're going to, you know, whatever it may be, then you're really going to want to consider more than usual rotating assets from those that have done extremely well into those a little bit more conservative, both to realize and you know, enjoy the gain, and also to make sure and stabilize that money, since you know you'll be withdrawing it soon anyway, just in case things go south. Now, with that, you're going to want to be a little sensitive to the fact that if it's not in a retirement plan or something that is tax deferred until withdrawal, maybe like even a variable annuity or something like that, that there could be a tax consideration. And I actually had to look at that with a client this morning. This is one of the more delicate things that I think I do, is that I had a client this morning I met with, and, you know, her 3-year average rate of return is just through the roof, crazy numbers. And it's getting to a point, though, that the portfolio is pretty imbalanced. And so I'm like, wow, if she calls me, and she literally only had I'm trying to think of a way to say this without, you know, I guess I could give numbers. So let's say it's, you know, about 900,000 and only 50 grands in bonds. It's like, wow.
And that's what you mean by imbalanced?
Yeah, and she's the type of person that I get calls sometimes for some big withdrawals. And I'm like, well, if the stock market, for whatever reason, drops precipitously and a lot of her holdings drop, and she calls me and needs a big withdrawal, I need to be sure that when that happens, that I've got a place for her to take money that has not suffered at all or as much or whatever after that market decline. And so it was a discussion of like, okay, let's do this. But the account was actually held in her trust. And a trust, by the way, unless it's irrevocable, which is hardly anybody, is taxable even to you personally. So a revocable trust is just taxable to you, you know, the trustee. And so I was like, well, whatever we do sell, you're going to pay capital gains tax on. Now, yeah, capital gains tax is considerably less than ordinary income tax brackets. But I don't know anybody who says, yeah, I don't care. I'm happy to pay that tax.
Yeah.
Of course you don't want to.
No.
So we had to weigh how much we were going to shift with the tax ramifications it would cause her in capital gains. So we came up with a number, and, you know, she'll pay a little bit in tax, but the benefit of that is that she can feel a little bit more confident that if a correction, in fact, occurs, we've got a decent amount of money protected from that, that if she needs more money than usual, we've got a plan for that. So that's kind of the first thing out of the gate. If you're a long-term investor, you're young, or you just, your goal is still 7 plus 10 years plus out, then it's less of a discussion of, hey, I definitely want to just sell because I've been crushing it. Now it becomes more of a discussion of, well, even if there is some short-term volatility and downside, that's okay because I feel very strongly in, you know, this mutual fund or this stock position or positions or whatever it is. So I'm going to kind of just keep riding that train, even though I know there might be some volatility, because in the end, I think that's definitely the place and the direction I want to go. And you also want to weigh, though, well, has it run its course, right? Is there other opportunities? I'll give you an example. So I'm not exactly sure where the numbers are today, but pretty close to this. So the S&P 500, the U.S. stock market as it is measured as an index, is currently priced somewhere around 20 to 25% above its normal long-term average. Doesn't mean it doesn't continue to go up. It just means that if that average still exists as the actual average, by definition, then the market's going to correct back down and, you know, resemble that. So when you're buying into the U.S. market right now, you in the S&P 500 know that you're paying a premium for that versus history. Again, you could still do great in the short term or maybe even over the long run. Just understand that's what's happening. The international markets I was mentioning before, although they outpaced the U.S. market by 8-10% on average last year, still are priced about their average long-term returns or even a little bit less, because they did not have the run-up over the last 10-15 years that the U.S. Stock market did, since the recovery, really, from what we were talking about in 2009. So that tells you that it's no guarantee that there's more upside. You're definitely going to make more money by going into companies and sectors based more out of Europe or, you know, developed Asia, Canada, etc. It just tells you that from a long-term price perspective, they are definitely more reasonably priced. And even with a huge year last year, that trend is something you would want to check into, is could it in fact continue? And in emerging markets like India and China and some others, they actually prosper pretty well in periods where interest rates are being lowered. So in fact, if that happens, that's also going to be a tailwind for those markets as well. So lot going on there, but I just kind of wanted to give you an idea of some things you should be thinking about if you saw your portfolio go up on average the last 3 years. You're up 15 on average, or 18 on average, or 25 on average, or whatever it is. You got to really take a look at what you're doing, and if it's a not a retirement plan, then you also have to weigh the tax consequences of making some moves.
Did you, without a long explanation, because we have to take a break,
I don't have that ability.
You just
okay, I'll try.
Did you just say China's an emerging market?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so emerging markets, just, although it's obviously still outpacing us by quite a bit in terms of growth.
The world's second highest GDP, right?
But in terms of infrastructure and stability of currency, and there's all different, you know, all different measures.
Sure.
It still fits under that category.
I'll be darned. All right. Well, a little David Bowie trivia here. This is pretty interesting.
Okay.
David Bowie's original stage name, after his birth name, David Robert Jones, was Davy Jones.
Davy Jones.
But
and
he changed
the song
it.
He sang as Davy Jones.
He
so
changed
funny.
It to David Bowie in 1966 to avoid confusion with Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Good call.
Yeah, actually it was. Choosing Bowie after the Jim Bowie and his knife.
Bowie and his knife.
Apparently he liked it. That's why people, I've heard a lot of people call him Bowie before, back in the day you did, but not so much now.
Yeah, well, MTV from Scotland, you know. Oh, that
right.
David Bowie. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. That is, yeah, could have been a professional.
But,
actor.
MTV kind of changed all that, you know, how to pronounce names and that sort of thing. And especially this song on MTV, holy cow.
Yeah.
You saw it a lot, right?
Crazy. Well, right. That and Let's Dance.
Right. Absolutely. And China Girl.
And, yep.
Yeah, China Girl also. All right. Don't forget the 9th annual Havasu Balloon Festival Golf Tournament. Color on the Colorado. Brought to you by Havasu Balloon Festival and Fair Anderson Toyota. And the volunteers for that are, of course, the Havasu Kiwanis. It's this Saturday, $120 per golfer. That is at Lake Havasu Golf Club. And they have a hole-in-one sponsor, Anderson Auto and Power Sports. I think there's a, what does it say you win this year? That's a vehicle of some sort. Anyway, yeah, right.
Makes
well,
sense.
One year it was a really nice razor.
So, yeah.
Very nice. Can-Am, if I remember
awesome.
Right. Yeah, it was very nice. Register online, KiwanisLHC.com/events. All right, back with more in a moment. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. And be like Wayne. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio. Wayne, you need to call in. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Outrageous, he screams and he bawls, like, you know, like cries, like bawling.
That was his review?
No, it says in the lyrics, he's outrageous, yeah. He screams and he bawls.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bowling either. We have a telephone call. Interesting. We'll get to the sponsors in just a moment. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul, Brian, it's Wayne. How you guys doing?
Wayne. What up, Wayne? How you doing?
Hey, good. The only thing I'm running for is my life.
and you are running again, aren't you?
Or a cookie in the
yes,
kitchen.
Yes, I am, yep.
You should see, Wayne's got new knees. He's like 2 inches taller now.
So, good call. While you're in there.
He told me that.
Yeah.
They straightened his legs out.
Yeah.
And I noticed you were taller. What's happening?
You know, hey, Brian, I was just wondering, you know, in this crazy time now, I mean, everything seems to be kind of goofy. What's your advice for young people? You know, like kids in their, you know, like 30, you know, 40, where their careers are starting to go. Everybody's so used to everything right away, you know.
Like your kids.
How do you,
yeah. Like Brian has kids that age.
Yeah.
Wayne, can I let you go, Brian? Brian, can I let you go, Wayne?
Yeah, listen off.
Yeah, we're hitting the top of the hour. We got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Wayne. You know, it's, I guess in many ways not going to be too different than what maybe hopefully listeners were taught. Certainly what I was taught and certainly what I teach my kids. And I know this for a fact with Wayne, and that is this. Live within your means.
Good call.
Don't increase your credit card debt. One of the negatives concerning everybody is this is kind of what we call a K-shaped economy. And what that means is if you like look at a K, how the spending's happening, it's essentially what we would say is the wealthy are what's propping up the economy because of that's who is spending. If they look at, well, where the spending is coming from, it's from on the whole, high-income houses and lower-income houses are very much struggling to make ends meet between just cost of housing and inflation and all these things So it's very difficult in that environment, but it is that's kind of the driver and has been the driver, quite honestly, in many ways since, especially the pandemic, since 2020. So we are seeing decreased rates of retirement plan contributions across the country in the last 6 months because people are afraid that they just aren't going to have the money they need, or maybe they don't have the money they need. I know for a fact loan request against 401ks increased dramatically last year.
Wow.
Which is tough and terrible because it's almost impossible to ever kind of make that back when you take that money out. You lose the earnings. And, it's been a huge year in the market last year and the year before that and the year before that. So to miss out on that because you took out a loan because you had to make ends meet off your credit card or whatever, it is just a tough situation. Well, I hate hearing that.
If you're under 59 and a half, it's even worse with a 401k loan.
Well, if you take a loan, though, there's no penalty.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
Okay.
Or tax unless you don't pay
it
back.
It's the draw.
Okay. You usually get 5 years. It's just you suffer not making money on your money.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you do yourself some real damage there. And when you stop contributing or lower your contributions, the same. So first and foremost, live within your means. Don't go into debt. And work. And do what you've got to do in terms of, hours and effort to kind of get there and build up that emergency savings. I tell people all the time, not so much anymore because, the type of client I meet with, but certainly when I was younger, when, people would want to start with me, I'd be like, how much do you have in emergency reserves and savings? $800. I'm like, no, that needs to be at $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
So that when things go south, you're not accessing with a penalty money from your IRA or whatever. You actually have that ready to go. Then you try to build more and go from there. And then finally, pay yourself first when you can, meaning put that money away. Translate the money you're working hard to earn into money for yourself for your future down the road. And when you get there, if you haven't done it, many people, I get it, you actually can't afford to do it. A lot of people, it's just priorities. You'd rather have a Starbucks or a six-pack or whatever.
No.
And but that's people.
Yeah.
Then put away that $100.
Right.
That's a choice.
Have a phone call. But you gave me some really good advice one time. Mm. I was living within my means, and I got a raise. Put that raise into what you're sending for your IRA, your retirement or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of spending more, save more.
Save more.
Yeah. All 100%. Right. Let's take a phone call real quick, caller. We got about a minute.
Yes. I do realize we're short on time. This could probably be a whole nother show. I would like if Spring Break could discuss investing in foreign currency, pros and cons. And also, I think the Qatari dinar, or the dinar, is number one right now. The dollar is, I think, 9 or 10. But if you could discuss pros and cons of investing in foreign currency real quick right now, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That might be good for another show, huh?
It is. I mean, the first thing I would say is that investing in foreign currency in its own way can be speculative as an investment, but it can be a hedge. Because as we were talking about, if the U.S. dollar goes down and you're thinking, man, it's going to continue to go down with our deficit and et cetera, then these foreign currencies actually can work to your favor independent of being invested in anything. But you need to be definitely an investor that is okay with some risk, because the things that can govern how a foreign currency kind of oscillates and goes up and down are going to be things that have nothing to do with the economy. It can be political stability and change that can happen out of the blue. It can be all kinds of things within a country or a region that were unforeseen, and that's why you need to be very careful about getting into something like that.
Right on.
Yep.
Well, welcome back.
Thanks for the call, though.
Welcome back.
My pleasure. Happy New Year, everybody.
You got your hour back.
Woo! Feels so good.
So, why the Diamondbacks shirt, right?
Why?
They got Nolan Arenado today.
Oh, I saw that.
That's amazing.
Robin.
I know he's past his prime, but hey, you know what? You've got Ketel Marte at second, Perdomo at short, and Arenado at third. Yeah, get it past the left side, right?
Pretty tight over there.
You think?
Yep.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'll have a final shot in a moment. And Brian Springberg can be reached at 928-855-9421. You got it. I had to look at the dial, but did you notice that?
You did it.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, look who just walked in. Someone we haven't heard from in a while, Marissa June.
Hello, hello.
You love Fleetwood Mac.
That
you,
I do.
And you love the Eagles.
Hit or miss.
Fleetwood Mac topped the Eagles, right?
Yes, they
on
did.
On this date?
Today in music history, 1977, the Eagles Hotel California enters the Billboard Top 200. It was nominated for Album of the Year, but it lost to Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Oh, wow. That's a... You know,
that's a decision I agree with, actually.
I do, too, having owned both albums. But it's kind of like, what do you do if you're Janet Jackson? You can't put out an album when Michael has an album out, right? So now you can't put an album out when the Eagles have an album out, or vice versa. So there you go. All right, Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.